Well, greetings to all of you skips and skipperettes, and welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. So, it's 2013. How did that happen exactly? The holidays are over, and we're back with a stack of new podcasts. I'd like to thank you for making 2012 so much fun for me. I really appreciate all of our fans so much. Now, first of all, if you're a smartphone user and you have the Stitcher radio app, we're now available there at Stitcher.com or on the smartphone app, as is Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other. Stitcher is also the easiest way to find us, although we're also on iTunes and on Podbean as well. Now, we haven't had a big push for Facebook friends for a while, so come on over and check us out at Facebook.com/JungleCruise, C-R-E-W-S. We'd love to make some new friends, and it's a great place to find out about upcoming skip gathers or podcast recordings. So, as they say, on with the show. Today we sit down with Skipper Rex and the always delightful Skipper Kip. This one was recorded during the holiday season, so the background music is festive, and so was the generous quantities of rum in our eggnogs. We ran a little bit long on this episode, so we split this one up into two, so you get beautiful podcast magic today, and we'll put the other half of it up in a week or two. Hope you guys are having a fantastic 2013, and now, on with the show. I think that when Kip was saying he was going to be late, that he actually meant he was going to be late. That would be my suspicion. I'm seeing how the levels are.
Okay.
It's one of those things I do. It's a radio thing.
It doesn't really seem to be picking up the background too bad.
Yeah, if I had those headphones that I was talking to you about,
you could really tell me who
I would be able to. Yeah, you definitely need to project a little bit.
Yeah, I saw me on a kind of low level there.
Yeah, I've heard that about you. You're very low level. Maybe we can scoot a little closer to you if you want. No, I've gotten in the habit of projecting. It comes from my old radio days. I don't know if you knew this about me. I did classic rock radio for like a year and a half.
I don't know why that works, but it does.
I did overnights at a classic rock station in Spokane, Washington. That's where I got my deep melodic Barry White. And I really, actually, Barry White Boy would have been a better...
Barry White Boy.
Yeah. as I've said, I make the Pillsbury Doughboy look like a forward for the Lakers. That's how white I am.
Hey-ho. I have nothing to compare that job prospect to other than one time a guy who worked at a jazz radio station in Saddleback offered me to come down and do a day because he wanted me to come down. That's the closest I ever got.
Yeah.
There it is.
It was, doing overnights, I would get in the station at like 11, and I'd be on from midnight till 6 in the morning, churning out the same effing 40 songs, night right. after night after
Yeah, that's
night.
The thing. It's amazing that, like, classic rock stations still exist. There isn't just one and one only.
Yeah, but they keep on adding songs into it that you kind of just start looking at, like, at some point...
Like, Pearl Jam now is classic rock.
Pearl Jam, Smashing Pumpkins. I'm listening to freaking Smashing Pumpkins on 95.5 KLOS.
So who's making
classic
the determination?
Rock in Los Angeles. Well, about what's classic and what's
when does
not.
It hit that mark?
Well,
when...
but here's the thing. It's been 20 years since Nevermind came out. And if you don't feel old now, who's listening to this...
You just told me that.
Yeah, 20 years ago was when Smells Like Teen Spirit first hit the airwaves. And, Jesus, I mean, that's like... 20 years, man.
I remember seeing that CD cover when it came out in a warehouse. You know, the store yeah. warehouse.
Oh, I thought you were actually in an actual warehouse.
The warehouse. Yeah. That was before they did movie rentals at those things.
That was back when they actually had record stores.
Yes.
I remember buying... What was your first CD you ever bought?
I can tell you my first cassette tape. I'm trying to remember my CD, though.
My first CD was The Art of Noise. The best of The Art of Noise. So I was actually really impressed with it. That was, you know, it was either that or the Paula Abdul CD, so.
What?
I don't know.
My first cassette tape was Beastie Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
fight for your right to party or ill...
ill communication.
What was the one that had all the 80s, the 80s album that had Fight for Your Right to Party and No Sleep Till?
That was, I don't know.
Anyway, it was like one of their old big, you know, big 80s hits. Yeah. And that was my first cassette tape as a little kid.
Now that we're 3 minutes in, I'll do the quick introductions. Welcome to Tales from the Jungle Cruise, where we have a loud man directly in back of us on a microphone, holding a small child over his shoulder like he intends on throwing him like a paper airplane. Welcome to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Tonight, a special holiday edition. We say a special holiday edition because where we're taping has blaring Christmas music that we cannot get away from no matter how hard we try. And sitting with me tonight, you guys know me, I'm Skipper Kyle, the Right and Reverend Skipper Kyle of the Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Okay, I'm just right, I guess. Sitting with me tonight, good friend, Skipper Rex.
Howdy.
Soon to be of the podcast, Rex and Kyle Make Up the News.
Hey.
We'll see if that ever gets off the ground. I've plugged like six projects on the podcast that have never happened.
They're just all tank or bottom house now.
We're going to be joined in a little bit by one of our favorite people, Skipper Kip. At some point, Kip will be joining us. But we decided to start recording now. Because there's so much good holiday magic happening here at the Starbucks at the Block. You know, here's the thing about the Block. It's in Orange, California. For those of you who are ex-Disney employees, we're sure you know what this place is if you lived in Orange County at all. This mall was the hippest, most fashionable mall like 10, 12 years ago.
Yep.
Best movie theater in Orange County. First 21-seat theater in Orange County.
Packed every night.
Every night. There were lines. They had cool food. They had Cafe 2 to Tango and Alcatraz. They had the best ribs in Orange County. Little place called Left at Albuquerque. The coolest, hippest place. And then it became the dirt mall out of Clerk, or out of freaking Mallrats.
Mallrats, yeah.
I swear that there was a lady with a third gummy nipple hanging out here at somewhere.
No, yeah, her store closed down and she transferred to Bath and Body Works.
Yeah,
just behind us.
Sense.
Yeah.
So and now it's become an outlet mall where people who would normally be rednecks but they have too much money come to shop at stores that they don't understand. There is, you know, they have things like Hillshire Farms Mega Store here.
Really?
No, they don't actually. That'd be awesome if they did, though. But there's people who actually use this the summer sausage logs to build actual log cabins. That's what they think that those
are. They're competing with the Swiss Colony outlet on the other side.
But you know, actually, what they have here this year is a Lindt truffle outlet for the little chocolate truffles. And I'm looking at it going, which human being needs a 10-pound bag of Lindt truffles? And I understand it's Swiss, but calling just. How did, I mean, I know it's Lindor, but how did a Lindt truffle sound like a good idea to anyone? It sounds like I left it in my pocket for too long, and the chocolate was a little exposed, and I got a Lindt truffle.
Well, furthermore, isn't Lindt a cheap chocolate in the first place?
It may be.
I feel like that's like getting a discount at the 99 cent store. Like, you're already...
It's not, Godiva's not even Godiva anymore. There is no such thing as a good mass-produced anything. And by saying that, I've become a hipster. Now all I have to do is carry around my copy of Infinite Jest and wear flannel, ironically.
That explains the tight jeans.
Yes.
And the glasses you don't require.
Yes. I will. That explains it on them. When you are a doughy white boy, the way that I am, you don't wear tight jeans.
No, it's true.
It's kind of. It looks like you're trying to squish something into a sausage casing, and it would be like... muffin top and an ice cream sugar cone. It would not look good.
In other words, a woman.
No.
Oh, sorry, ladies.
You know,
sorry.
Yeah, and you're single forever now, Rex.
There it is.
There it goes. So, so Jungle Cruise goodness continues. We're having a little server issue right now where the first 7 episodes are unavailable. We don't know why. Our RSS feed has gotten blocked up somehow, so... We're trying to fix that, so all of the first 6 episodes... It's all right. The first couple weren't too good. They were good with Benny and Kaz, but...
Probably just need some fiber in your feed. And
yeah, to get my...
Unblock it.
Unblock it.
Yeah, it'll just...
Then it'll be all brand new.
Oh, man.
Oh,
We are going to hell tonight.
I hope I'm not going to get any flax for these jokes.
Yes. What are you talking about?
These wheat jokes are just shredded right now. Oh.
Yeah. We'll stop, dear God. Because we probably could go on all night. We'll pick a better pun to run off on.
This is what we do online all day with one another.
You know, I gotta say, there were some journey jokes that were passing back and forth the other day, and those were epic. The other thing I like most about coming to malls like this, and we'll get to the Disney stuff in a little bit, because we all know that Tales from the Jungle Cruise has only peripherally become about the Jungle Cruise the last few episodes, is people watching. And I got to think that on a cold day, wearing tights that are already pre-shredded might not be your best fashion to weather choice.
I'm going to say that was fun to watch, though, regardless of the weather.
Yeah. So Disney fun stuff. They've decorated Cars Land for the holidays because nothing says we opened this attraction land 4 months ago, then let's stick some more lights and color and tinsel on it. They just opened the damn thing, and they're decorating it for the holidays. Most people have never even seen it before, because the lines are 3.5 weeks long.
And it is pretty well lit at night already, your credit.
It's very well lit, because it's neon
it's
everywhere.
It's like the Vegas Strip on California Adventure.
I have my fast pass for Radiator Springs Racers for January 3rd. It's
Ooh.
The first, yeah.
So
I know.
You got ahead of me. Mine's for March.
Moving up in the line.
I'll trade you.
So, I'm actually thinking, let's just, out of curiosity, Rex, which attractions do you think they get inappropriately dressed up for the holidays?
Do you think the cast members inappropriately dress up, or people?
No, I'm just saying that to take the attraction and make it a holiday attraction, because
I know where you're going now.
Yes, I mean, which because they did Haunted Mansion Holiday, which there could have been a tie-in to. I'm thinking the Jungle Juice. I'm thinking that the entire make it a Hanukkah themed boat ride through. No, you're not.
No. My eyebrows raised because I have a joke on the tip of my tongue that could end my career that I haven't started yet in comedy, and I was going to say that what better ride to have a Jewish theme than a comedic ride? Because we all know that the Jews in stand-up comedy. That's like peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, you know, I just listened to the Mel Brooks interview on the one of the other podcasts. Actually, I think that Jewish humor is a little bit wry. See what I was doing? That's a callback to
discussion. Let's keep these jokes kosher.
Yes. Dear God, we are going to have no listeners at all ever after this. But no, I mean, you know, I actually think that the ride, and I was having this discussion with the people over at the Sweep Spot podcast that I was on a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I think that just posted about a week ago. Which, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, the THE Sweep, SWEEP, Spot, SPOT, it's they're on iTunes. They're a pair of custodial cast members who do a great job of chatting about the park and seeing it from a different viewpoint. So I really recommend their Lynn and Laura are great people, so check out that podcast. But we were talking, and I think the one that they're missing the money on is the Tiki Room. Because Melikalikimaka would be a perfect, But I think at some point, the entire park, every ride gets a makeover for the holidays.
I wish Disney could get, like, the licensing to the Tiki Lounge era. Yeah. Like, I would love to see, like, a Frank Sinatra character hanging out in front of the Tiki Room.
Is that Well, that was the Barker Bird, and they had the Barker Bird outside for so many years.
Right, and when you go in there, when you go in the Tiki Room, you'll notice that most of the main principal birds, we'll call them, most of them are archetypes or stereotypes of either certain performers
Bing Crosby.
Right, there's... the German one for a second.
Maurice Chevalier.
Right.
Bing Crosby.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Not Speedy Gonzalez. Ricky Ricardo, perhaps.
I love that that's how they thought Hispanic people talked in the 40s and 50s. They all talk like this. Like, I have yet to meet one that
anyone
has
from
that
Mexico
draw.
Or Spain that has that.
So funny.
No, I love going back and watching the old Bugs Bunny Speedy Gonzalez, which they don't show anymore. it's got to be like late night Cartoon Network.
Right, because they're so violent and racist and everything else.
And you know, they some of the early, like the Looney Tunes with the Native Americans, I mean, they're really horribly racist. There wasn't an ethnic group that they didn't tear apart during that time period. But watching the Speedy Gonzales cartoons with my Hispanic friends.
Oh, man.
Is.
That's got to be as uncomfortable as porn with your mom. It's got to be up there.
Hey, my mom was only in 3 or 4 movies. But you mean watching with.
Really? I only saw 2 of them. Yeah. Where are the other 3 or 4?
And now we're earning our explicit
scene.
Tag.
There it is. No, but, I mean, yeah, the French were stinky. Pepe Le Pew, if you will. Yeah. I mean, they had every stereotype you can think of. It was so bad, but so funny. And then as kids, we somehow escaped watching all those cartoons and not growing up to join the Klan. I don't know how that worked out.
You know, the interesting thing, though, is that I was chatting in my line of work. I meet people from many different cultures. And one of the things that I got to meet was some people from Brazil. And we were talking about how the American view of Brazil for 40 or 50 years was based solely around the Three Caballeros. The whole Bahia thing?
Right, yes.
And that was all people in America knew about Brazil. It was that, and then Rio suddenly became like a big thing in Carnival, and then that's how we think of Brazil and nude beaches and all that. But originally, we saw, you know, South America through the lens of the Three Caballeros. It was the only thing that we saw that on. Just the same way that, and this ties back into what we were naming the podcast about, you know, you take a look at the Jungle Cruise, and for a long time, the Jungle Cruise was how people envisioned Africa and Southeast Asia and, you know, I guess part of South America and the Amazon. But, you know, you had people in the 50s who we didn't have the internet, barely had television. Wait, am I?
Two ladies.
Okay.
They were holding hands. It was awesome.
All right. So, but, you know, the Jungle Cruise was how people perceived Southeast Asia or Africa. People who, you know, might have seen National Geographic, or they might have seen Life magazine or whatever it is.
We basically, in the 40s, we thought robots were all over the African veldt. And you didn't need to actually steer boats, and you could fire blanks at hippos. I mean, that's how we thought.
Yeah,
life was in the 40s, you know?
I was going more for the fact that, you know, Walt Disney was the only person who was expanding people's perceptions and views of these things.
Also that.
I was disappointed when I went to the actual, you know, Congo, that the guy on the boat didn't tell jokes. That's why I was... Because we were under fire from insurgent...
No, you weren't. Were you really?
In the Congo? I actually have never been to the Congo.
Oh, you had me for a second there. But back to your original idea about doing like a Hanukkah thing for Jungle Cruise. If they were to do that, I would give my right arm to be over it at Imagineering when they come up with whatever names they want to come up with for the boats. Oh, God, just to rename those would be a joy.
The great thing, though, is that the natural gas that the Jungle Cruise boats run on actually lasted for you know, multiple nights. When they think it would only go for one day worth of natural gas, and it goes for 9, 7. I don't know my menorah.
Oh, I don't even know how many.
7 or 9.
How many is it on there?
I think it's...
You'll get emails.
I'm going to get...
Yeah, you'll know.
From our Jewish skipper friends.
All 5. Yeah. But,
No, I actually... And I, you know, all kidding aside on that topic, you know, I don't want to come off as having beliefs about that. I am the least racist person anyone will ever meet or bigoted on any level. So.
Oh, no, yeah, it's all in fun. I don't think you can be if you work at Disney.
You know, I was having this discussion with people that I think that everyone should work at Disney for 6 months. Because I talked about this on the podcast I recorded last night. I saw people come in, and within 6 weeks, every bit of homophobia and bigotry they had was wiped clean.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it changes the perception about it. And then you cannot work around Jungle and not have a deviant form of humor that is created out of that experience.
I gotta say, counterintuitive to what you're saying, though, I did lose... Well, I didn't really have homophobia when I worked there, because I had a gay cousin. So, totally normal to me. But I did lose a lot of preconceptions about certain groups of people while working there.
Yep.
But I also gained hatred towards certain groups of tourists while working there, ironically. The Europeans... in particular, I just somehow I never had good interactions with. They hated
me. But it's funny. I think that it's tough. I imagine that when we go to other countries, that people, it's whenever you have anyone traveling who doesn't understand what's going on, and they're driving on the wrong side of the road, and or whatever it is. I actually some of my fondest memories of working jungle were interacting with guests from other cultures, because you got to have dialogues that you could never have with anyone else.
Definitely,
and, you know there were there was a highly regarded Indian yogi who apparently was one of the three or four most holy men, and when he rode on the Indiana Jones ride, they put a little hand woven carpet under his rear end so that he would never sit where any other human has sat before.
I was going to say, is that because nothing gets in any of the holes because he's so holy?
No, it's not holy in that regard.
Oh, I see. You don't want an infection. No. Is basically what I'm getting at. If you're really holy, you got to keep those things covered.
No, I think you're describing the Swiss.
Ah, that's my people. Ah. Yeah. Yeah, I am actually Swiss. That's my nationality. Yeah. And ironically, I got the Matterhorn when I hired into Disney.
Because they were stereotyping even.
There's some theming right there.
Which is funny, because I got the Jungle Cruise because I have one quarter of my ancestry is hippo.
Oh, jeez. No wonder you're becoming a hipster.
It's very... I think hippo hipster should be the new meme.
There it is.
I think hipster hippo needs to be...
That reminds me of the...
Guys, design it, put it on a t-shirt, make that your new meme for the internet.
It reminds me of another phrase, and I hate to keep coming back to the poor Jews. I'm not trying to do this, but people will say, like, oh, I'm not completely Jew. I'm Jewish.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
It's a fun play on words. I like it.
So anyway, changing subjects, that before we,
Yeah, this is quite a semantic, what am I saying?
We're doing Semitic semantics?
Yes.
It's funny because the next episode that posts, it will be like two before this one, is with one of our Jewish friend skippers. So let's see if we have discovered the whereabouts of our third person this evening.
Yeah, I'm checking on that right now, and he has not shown up yet. He's really short.
It's all right. That's how it always was working with him.
He'll be docked a point and a half for those of you cast members.
So, Cars Land, let's go back to our original discussion 8 minutes ago. So they've decorated it for the holiday season. And it already had the most lights, neon, tail lights, whatever, of any attraction area, of any land in the park. So who do they get to be the spokesman for this year's holiday promotions of the entire park, but Mater from Cars being pulled in a sleigh, which, first of all, why does a tow truck need to be in a sleigh? Being pulled by 8 tractors with red noses through the sky, advertising the holiday times at Disneyland.
I unfortunately have a loss for words on this one.
I'm looking at that and I just kind of go, really? Is that?
I guess you can credit them for somewhat being non-denominational. But he's still in a sleigh.
Yeah. I'm waiting for our friend Trevor Kelly from Joey and Trevor. He hates the Cars thing.
Oh, just altogether?
Oh, yeah. The logical inaccuracies of that movie just tear him apart. So, just like, how do they have children? Why do they have seats if there's never been humans?
Well, yeah, you definitely have to suspend a lot of disbelief for that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. So, speaking of other movies, before we get into a little bit more of the Jungle Cruise stuff, Wreck-It Ralph. 3 weeks out as of this taping, phenomenal movie.
Loved it.
It is in my favorite recent Disney movies. And it really felt very different than anything that they've ever done, other than maybe Chicken Little.
Wow. You pulled that one. I forgot that existed.
Or Dinosaur. Ugh. Or... Home on the Range.
Wreck-It Ralph, I think, had the similar plot line of all your Pixar movies. Yeah. But you're right that it had a little different feel. And
it was definitely not a Pixar movie.
And there were so many fun little Easter eggs for people like me, who's a real big gamer. Because
wait, you?
Oh, well.
So
a stocky white boy with dating issues, a gamer.
What are you talking about?
I would never have imagined that.
Wearing an army inspired jacket right now? No. An AC/DC T-shirt. I might.
So
add.
Yeah. So I'm going hipster. You're going roadie. This is not a good plan for either of us.
No, but really, that there were so many cool little things they kind of threw to people who were part of that culture, subculture.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It was so fun.
You know, and this is really what I tag that movie as. It's the Roger Rabbit of our generation.
Ooh,
of this generation.
That's a bold statement.
But think about it. Think about what Roger Rabbit was to other animation and cartoons. That's what Wreck-It Ralph is that it creates that universe. You know, it plays, there's some logical question marks, like, you know, not to be a spoiler alert person here, but why is every single video game in the entire arcade plugged into a single power strip?
No, I wondered about that, and do only the machines that are plugged into that power strip or surge protector get to interact with each other, and all the other ones are out unless they're connected to that?
See, and that's what I'm trying to figure out is, because, you know, they apparently travel into that connector, but
right.
What happens to the master one that goes to the wall?
Yeah, do they go to the wall outlet and then they can go anywhere they want, right?
See,
I would assume.
Then we think about that. If that's the case, then they can go to any other outlet in any other place because they can travel along the wires.
Well, I don't want my head to explode.
No, I think
so
we should suspend that disbelief immediately.
I will say it did bring Sarah Silverman back into my mindset, because I've kind of forgotten about her a little bit. I like her, but and she did great in that movie, and I was like, oh,
and,
yeah.
And I really just like the name Vanellope. You know, that's such a Penelope play on words. That's it was a great movie. There were some Jungle Cruise tie-ins of one of the skippers actually did work on that. Oh, well, it's our good friend Skipper Kip. Skipper
hey.
Kipper, Skippy Kippy.
Good evening.
Kippity doodah.
Are we live?
We're live. There are now somewhere around 2,000 to 6,000 people sitting watching Two and a Half Men.
That's right. That filth, supposedly.
Yeah, we started early.
So if you divide that
that's
up,
a topical joke.
Two and a half men into 6,000.
Yeah. I will say that because of the background music that we have going on, I have the gain turned fairly well down, so it's either going to be project or get close. We'll let you
sit on my lap. Will that make you feel better?
We'll let you be
a
little
make
more.
Somebody feel better.
So
his wife.
How you doing, Kip?
I'm A-okay. Good. I'm glad I picked the right place because this is used to be a block of orange, right? Are
yes.
we identifying,
it's
is
now,
it okay
it's
we
it's
drop?
Now, yeah, it's now the Factory Outlet Mall block of orange.
Yeah, but how many years until people stop just calling it the block? I mean, that's going to be tough to shake.
We were discussing how this was once a cool and hip place, and now it's a place where brands come to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... I mean, this is the stuff that people didn't want. It's the orphanage of clothes and shoes.
Oddly enough, that's why we're here. Because it's things people didn't want.
Are you trying to tell me, to my face, that Perfume Mania is not on the cutting edge of marketing? That they are not a sign of things to come?
You know, but the odd thing is that we're at the Starbucks here, and I think that the coffee was factory seconds because it just feels burned. It tastes a little burned and over-roasted, so maybe... Mm. That's how every cup of Starbucks coffee tastes.
It's imported from Santa Ana.
Yeah. But, yeah. We get the movies here that other malls don't want.
Well, watch out. Outlet movies?
Yeah, factory outlet movies. We get...
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Taken 3, because, you know... Taken 2, and I know that I've referenced this on another episode, but I have to mention it to you guys. Taken 1, they kidnap his daughter. And he goes, and he has a very specific set of skills, and he goes and he kills all of these people who kidnapped his daughter. In the second movie, they kidnap his wife and his son. Because, let's face it, you know, it wasn't enough that he went off and killed. Maybe they think that if they kidnap two of them, it'll throw him off his game. It'll just, you know, lower the stakes a little bit.
Yeah, because completely dismantling their operation wasn't bad enough. Why,
yeah.
Why not 10 feet? One more time.
Yeah, let's do it one more time.
Yeah.
I swear that it's a movie that Jackie Chan could have done the script writing for.
That's just a lesson to all Europeans everywhere not to kidnap relatives of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes.
Because that's what happens.
I need to get out more. I'm still catching up on Married with Children episodes.
Is on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to meet Ed O'Neill recently. What an odd segue. At my store at the farmer's market.
He
came by and we said hello. And
oh, no way.
He's doing some procedural thing right now, isn't he? Or Modern Family. He's on Modern Family.
Well, yeah, Modern Family.
But before,
wasn't he
doing Dragnet?
Ooh, I don't know.
The reboot on Dragnet?
Yeah. I thought it was him.
Yeah, no one did. That's why it's off the air. But I want to say he played the Jack Webb Dan Aykroyd, if you want to go to the...
I've never even heard of that being remade.
Yeah, they redid it. It was out for a couple of years.
Well, you can tell it was a hell of a marketing campaign.
Yes. Almost as good as Lost. So we were just... Kip, we'll bring you up to speed on what we've been talking about. Which Disney attractions, since we occasionally discuss Disney on this podcast, rarely, if could get a holiday overlay, in your opinion? Like, what would you holiday theme at the park? Because they've done Mansion. Cars Land is now a grotesque monstrosity of light and sound that...
Tomorrowland is still virgin territory.
But not from what I've heard. I've heard Tomorrowland's where you go to get rid of that problem.
Well, you know.
All right, let's hold on. We'll let Cart Boy go by.
Maybe the custodial people. We could decorate those.
There
folks.
You go. You can put bells on their broom handles.
All right. Well, this is the edit point. So, edit point now over.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I came up with the right either. But what do you think? Tomorrowland. Well, what would you do?
They do Space Mountain as Ghost Galaxy,
which I haven't ridden, and everyone tells me is good.
It's very good. But I really think that you just go to the North Pole. You know, it's a rocket ship going to. I don't know. But yeah, no, Tomorrowland, there's not a lot of things you can do in Tomorrowland that would be holiday-themed.
I beg to differ. You could turn interventions into capitalism. Literally, you just call it capitalism. You just put a price tag on everything in there.
I thought that was what the whole point of interventions was.
Oh, wait, you're right. Never mind.
I just want them to tear that building down and put in Mission to Mars so badly. Mission to Mars, by the way, in case you haven't been to Orlando... The single best ride that Disney has ever done. You take a 4-person Star Tours quality motion simulator.
It was amazing.
And then you strap it to what effectively is the Dumbo ride and spin it around at 100 and some miles an hour.
Yeah,
and
it goes on a NASA grade centrifuge.
And then you tilt the attraction. And at the start of opening, it was so intense that they had 3 or 4 cardiac incidents.
Yeah.
And actually had people with heart conditions who didn't know it, who passed. So they toned the ride down.
They had to tone it down a little bit. And you can tell when you ride it, it's still intense, but
it's
not.
I rode it when it first opened. I rode it in that first like 6-month window. And it is singularly the best thing that the parks have ever done for an attraction.
It's an amazing ride. But you're right, when it opened, it was actually causing air bubbles to build up in people's vascular systems and cause heart attacks or strokes as the bubbles would travel up their body during
That's
the ride.
Thinning out the herd right there.
Oh, man, that is
fantastic. Right? I've never been to Florida to experience
Epcot. That park alone, to me, is just designed fantastic.
Epcot is designed primarily because there's alcohol everywhere, which was a great thing. The Epcot, there's this whole area where you have all the countries of the world, and you can do this thing called drinking around the world, where you start at Mexico, and you start with a margarita, and you go to France and have wine, and you go to Canada and have beer, and you go to, and
so
you
I grew
literally.
Up in Texas, so that's exactly kind of the way I started.
That's high school. That's what they call high school.
I think once Texas secedes, they'll have a Texas land over there in Epcot as well. There's no taxes or anything like that on the products you purchase. But if you steal anything, they'll put you in the electric chair. So,
yeah, but no, Epcot is an interesting place. Magic Kingdom in Orlando, I've been a couple times. I had the worst timing on my second trip to Epcot because it was right after the incident at Big Thunder, like the day after.
And there's the...
And everyone, literally, that's all they wanted to talk about was what had happened. Then, of course, I had intimate details because I'm psychic, apparently. But every time I pulled out my cast ID, it was all anyone ever wanted to talk about was the incident on Thunder. So that was
amazing.
But You know, the interesting thing about Magic Kingdom in Orlando is that most of the rides that are based on the original Disneyland ones, what's the technical word I'm looking for? Suck.
Yeah, it's weird.
Actually,
the ones that they took from Anaheim didn't translate well at all.
No, they're all terrible. Space Mountain, they slice it in half,
put two
coasters up there. It's rough. It's bouncy.
It's bad.
It's like Goofy's Flight School or Mulholland Madness, whatever you want to call it. It's slightly less bouncy than that ride. It's a terrible roller coaster.
I literally wanted to see a chiropractor after riding it. It was horrendous.
Pirates of the Caribbean is maybe a minute and a half. Maybe it's a two-minute ride. It's a pretty short. No, it's like two-thirds.
Oh, yeah. Time machine.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds of the length of the actual ride at Anaheim.
And then there's Small World.
Oh.
It's an indoor ride. I mean, the whole ride is indoor. Not like, you know, you go outside and you go in. Right. No, it's like a dark ride next to Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Like, I will say that it works both ways, though. I'm going to come back to your topic, though. But the rides that come from Florida and then come to Anaheim, we also get the short end of the stick. So it seems whenever you try to bring a ride from one park to the other, something gets lost, no matter which direction it's going.
But it's funny that the one that's in Orlando, which is amazing, is Big Thunder. Their Big Thunder is, it's like California Screaming quality ride.
It's like ours in reverse. No kidding.
Yeah,
I heard they flip-flop, though.
It is, yeah. It's quite amazing.
It's a really, and it's a much longer coaster. It's it's a really fun attraction to ride.
Yeah, it was weird. Being in the Magic Kingdom is like when you dream, you're in a place you're familiar with, but in your dream, it's always not quite like it is in reality. You're like, oh, how come this is over here? And this is, you know, it was at Disneyland in my dream, but the Matterhorn was over behind Indy for some reason. You know how your dreams kind of skew things? Yeah. That's what it was like being in Florida. I was like, wait, how come this is over here and that's over there? But it looks similar. It's just not quite the same. So it is a trip to go there because it's like familiar, but not.
Yeah. Well, and then they had strange things there for a while. They had this thing called the Alien Encounter,
which is now
Stitch Encounter.
Terrible, by the way.
Yeah, Stitch escapes, and it's the whole thing. But it was originally so freaking terrifying that they actually had shoulder harnesses to hold people into their seats, because you would have, like, you remember Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, the little tail that would whip out between your legs and terrify you? They had that by your ear with a gust of air, like that this was breathing into your ear, like this. And it was slightly hot and sweaty, and it was like one of the most disturbing 20 minutes that I've ever spent at a Disney resort.
He now Stitch burps a chili cheese dog in your face, and it smells disgusting.
It's like it's tough to be a bug.
I want it out of the seat. It was gross. But props to Imagineering for coming up with that scent, because it smelled legit. Felt like my drunk uncle was trying to make a pass at me again.
So the old Night at Tommy's.
Hey, how'd you know his name?
So, but yeah, no, it's once again back to what should we stick a holiday theme onto? But yeah, I mean, they really could do most of the park with some kind of a holiday. If they really wanted to just keep capitalizing, but it's like Cars Land has been open what, 6 months? And they're sticking a holiday overlay on the whole land. It just seems strange. You know, they've got Luigi's, you know, flying disc things that instead of the giant beach balls, they've got giant Christmas ornaments. I don't know that that's true or not.
I never go in the park.
Yeah.
I park at TDA, I walk to my attraction.
Yeah, I need to get you up closer because you're barely registering. Sorry.
That's all right. No,
Kip's
no.
really short, so he's got to reach up to the mic.
I may be the worst podcaster, too. I'm a better audience than I am participant.
It's okay. There, I'll actually face it at you. Maybe that'll help.
Hi.
It's all right. We're just hanging out.
Oh,
I
know.
Haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah. So, it's good to be here. I don't get out of the house much. I work a lot.
Yeah, you do. So, you're doing a lot of stand-up, too, now.
I have been doing some stand-up. It's pretty exciting, progressing nicely.
Yeah, I was just telling Kyle before we started recording now, I'd seen you in your early sets back in the day, and just saw you last at Beachcombers, and man, you've progressed. It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Good you've got.
It's been good, and I'm going to try some new stuff next year, some new techniques, and so it'll be interesting to see.
That's good.
Kind of broaden my base a little bit.
What do you mean, like, techniques? Like, you're going to tell jokes underwater, or are you going to do sign language instead of verbal?
Well, you're stealing my thunder.
Oh.
But I'm absolutely not. No, it's... Actually, I'm going to try...
You're actually going to steal
I'm going to be working with a guy, do some more crowd work stuff and do a little more interaction to kind of broaden my appeal. And it won't be exclusive, but it'll be something we'll kind of fall back on.
I'd like to be, like, an insult comedian. I don't know yet if I have the gumption for that, but I know I can be offensive. I just don't know if I can insult people with such wit that they have nothing against me.
I think every time I've heard you tell a joke, it's been offensive, quite honestly. So.
We definitely know I'd be a blue comedian. I can tell you that much. But
I love those guys in Vegas, the three of them with the drums and the...
Oh, that's hilarious.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, good one. Okay.
All right.
He's stealing my thunder down under. Listen to this guy.
So,
Vegas jokes.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Oh, how come no one's doing periodic table of element jokes anymore? Like,
was that a genre?
Like, I try to tell chemical jokes and I get no reaction.
I have to tell
Sorry, that one. That joke's a little boron.
I did a show with this guy, though. He did a joke, and it was really funny how he did it. I would love to steal this joke, but I can't do it. He was talking about, you know, how we use the N-word now. And he says, maybe we should have, like, a periodic table of all the words that we can't use, like
that's,
the N-word.
That's a good idea.
You know, instead of retard, just use the R-word. So you have this periodic table of all your different... It was a really funny premise.
Right, a big R in the square.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an acronym, and then underneath it'll say retard.
But you have to have the atomic weight of those elements be significant to the amount that the word is insulting.
I think N would probably be very high.
Well, I'll try the middle.
Dork is like helium. You know.
Okay,
or
exactly.
Moron. Moron is where boron is.
There you go.
And then, you know, you go to your really insulting things. And then at the bottom are just a bunch of made-up words that are placeholding for insults that will come down the road. The really insulting stuff that we haven't even thought of yet, where they take like two or three other really offensive words and they smash them together in a giant, you know, collider and come up with these really insulting phrases that we don't even know what they mean yet.
To be determined.
Yeah.
It's the parentheses.
The Higgs boson of insult comedy.
You know, someone once told a really bad chemistry joke. I had to bury him. Look that one up on the table, folks. That was genius. That's a little bit of Einsteinium right there.
Einsteinium. Is that on the table?
It is. That's a heavy one, too. I don't even know what that does.
The problem is it's got that big frizzy hair of protons that it's a little hard to...
What is that even used for?
I think that a lot of those things are just there because they can make them and then they dissipate.
If they put enough protons together,
But then they just kind of, you know, they last for a few. Yeah, they last for a few and then they...
They're the one-night stands of the elements.
I'm waiting for the rubidium jokes and the... He'll get there at some point. He'll exhaust the... I think it's a noble effort.
Well, thank you.
So...
Yeah, I got a C in high school biology, so I'm kind of left out of this whole loop. Yeah, I mean, that's as far as I went. Yeah.
That was it? You didn't go past biology, you mean? So
no,
you
that
never
was
took
it.
Chemistry?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just, you know.
That would explain why there's no chemistry here right now.
Correct.
So.
Also because you're a man, that's why.
How long have you been doing the jungle thing and the Disney thing now?
Collectively,
because I had
close to 8 years.
Yeah, because I was there 8 years of chronological, but I only really worked five.
Yeah,
because I had a couple breaks in the middle.
Yeah.
So,
I'm on my fourth tour of duty, as I call it.
Yeah, I would love to go back for a while. We'll see if that ever happens.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. I don't get involved in
the mad parties.
Yeah, it's just not, you know. I don't want it to be work. He asked me to be lead over at Thunder a few years ago, and I
really?
Said, "Yeah." I said, "I said no, thanks. I don't want this to be a job."
Yeah, then you can't go on the boat, man. Yeah.
You know, so I was.
Rex, they don't have boats at Thunder, just so you know how that ride
works. Oh, I'm sorry. I got jungle on the brain. They asked me to be lead at Thunder.
You missed the boat.
I totally missed. Wow. Well, no, I was right.
But you were right, because that's kind of where I was going
to lead. You still wouldn't be able to go on the boat.
Yeah, you're stuck over at Thunder leading. So
I think I had 7 or 8 attractions between the different times I was there, and I love doing everything individually. I love Jungle, obviously. My favorite thing that I did was Disney University. That was, for me, that was the really fun stuff, because it was, you know, the fresh-eyed, you know, kids coming into the park for the first time, and they had no clue, and it was that first exposure to the magic, and...
And no guests.
And no, a reduced amount of guests.
Right.
But, I would, you know, I've said it before, I wish we had a volunteer army to do Jungle, because I would go in for one day a month for free. I would donate my time or donate my check to charity or whatever.
I actually had a pretty neat idea kind of wrapped around that. Not exactly a volunteer thing, but I thought, you know, how they're doing like the holiday makeover that you were talking about earlier. I thought it'd be kind of fun if they had like a Jungle Cruise, like a special night, where it's kind of like Jungle Cruise unplugged, but it was still, you know, in the G rage.
Yeah.
So it was appropriate. Mm. But you could be a little more freeform and not have the restrictions of the OG. You know, like they had Space Mountain. They had the Red Hot Chili Peppers do the background music for it.
Okay.
And it's just a little twist on it. And it's not, and it couldn't have to be once a week. It could be like once a quarter, yeah. Just kind of a special night.
So we could, I'm there. You could tell the off-script jokes that are normally told without fear of
They had that whole time where the script was relaxed. It was called 2002 to 2005.
Yeah, I love that time period.
That was the...
It was epic.
That was
up
fun.
Up until the 50th anniversary, back when it all got tightened up again.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
We tried to get as many good jokes on that script as we could, but legal was the goalie that we couldn't get pucks past. It was tough. So
yeah,
but, I
noticed that because I'm still seeing those jokes.
But yeah, when I was over in that's funny. Thanks. When I was in Burbank, I actually, well, not me alone, but the group as a whole was trying to lobby to push Disney to make that ride an audition. Attraction, meaning obviously you'd have to audition to work it, because we felt that people would lose some quality if cast members were just simply scheduled to learn Jungle Cruise who may not have the desire to do so, and people that were generally passionate about it or even just good at telling jokes could obviously participate.
Well, and
but then the pay scale would have to be impacted, and it would have to be part of the entertainment department.
Well,
which,
the problem that comes down to, and this is the joy of doing this podcast for a year and a half and talking to people and learning some of the history, is that you'd have to then have two people, one person operating the vehicle and one person doing the jokes, because anything where a vehicle is in motion has to be under a particular union contract, and anything that you're doing with entertainment has to be a separate contract, so it would double the labor, which would screw that immediately. But they did that. I mean, that was mid-90s with narrations.
Teamsters? Please don't kill us and bury us. We love you.
But no, narrations was when they actually created characters, and you dressed up in your character form, and they had costuming, you know, flexibility where you would say, I want to look like a, you know, 1920s butterfly researcher and have butterflies pinned to the back of my jacket, and I would be out in the jungle hunting for butterflies, and all my jokes would be Labradorological or whatever the butterfly collector's joke would be, and they actually had, you know, these people who were in on the ride that's what they did, that they created that scripted thing where there were rehearsals, all the jokes were approved, and they actually created the character driven ride. And unfortunately, when you have characters, you have egos, and that's where it really, you know, got in the way of that, and that project was dropped, sadly, way too quickly. It lasted 2 years or so. But there's some really great details on it in Dave Koenig's book.
Oh, interesting.
Right. The second Mouse Tales book, I think, talks about. And if you haven't listened to my interview with Dave Koenig, it's the best Jungle Cruise episode, season 2, episode 2.
Thank you, because I haven't heard that one yet. I'd like to listen to it.
Yeah, it was a good sit down.
Can you imagine, though, doing butterfly jokes for 12 moths a year? Holy cow. That would get old, let me tell you. You definitely need to experience a metamorphosis after that.
I think you can just wing it. I think that's fine. And then the people who can't handle it would crawl into their cocoons and...
Oh, man, just flapping all day long, butterfly jokes coming out of your mouth. Yeah, oh, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, but you see, you would fit in perfectly, because With your name being Rex, which of course is Latin for king,
yep.
You could be the monarch butterfly.
That's right. I still...
What's in these coffee cups? Anyway.
Rum.
Mine is the...
Eggnog and rum.
Extremely manly named creme brulee latte. And it was fun, because I say that, and he goes, what's your name? I'm all Rex, R-E-X. Like, you know, trying to...
Make it all masculine.
Trying to get my man card back after I ordered that. But
it's kind of like ordering a Cosmo at a bar.
I was like, can I get that with a side of beef jerky? Ended up getting a gingerbread coffee cake. Close enough.
I just didn't know if they had some kind of pun-flavored coffee in there that you were just...
Oh, no, it's...
Swilling around because
Rex in the same room as always. Well, I think this happens when you get people who's for them that the pun is the form of delivery for their humor, that when you get more than one, it's always that one-upsmanship.
No, it's...
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what drives the joke, too, is to try to...
See, yeah, but the hard part of it is that, you know, people... Having done stand-up comedy myself, I bow to the fact that I'm not as good as 99.9% of the other comedians who've ever told a joke. But the thing I realized is that the pun is actually the mathematically perfect form of humor. I didn't know if you knew that. That the shortest distance between any two puns is a straight line.
There's also a classic song that talks... It says, my anaconda don't want none unless you got puns, hon. I think that's lyrics. I have to look it up
that
on,
should be a t-shirt.
Online. Should it?
Yes.
Let's make it a bumper sticker and or t-shirt. And sell it on talesfromthejunglecruise.com.
Yeah.
Is that a website yet?
I don't own that.
Does that URL own it?
No, no one
I shouldn't
owns
have
it.
Said it, because now people are going to go to GoDaddy and start
no one's going
writing
to.
That one.
No one's going to.
Okay.
I'm happy enough with junglecruise@gmail.com. It's fine.
Is that a blogger website?
No, that's called an email address.
Well, no, you have an email, but do you translate that over to do you have a blogger account?
No.
A Google's
no.
website app,
no.
if you will. I have one. Oh, I still have it, but I haven't updated it in like 4 years. It was called The Funny Shot, which is a play on words for the money shot. And it had a...
Is that...
Thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Any joke that has to be explained.
Well,
did you have? Is it like the Indiana Jones where they handed out decoder cards when you walked into the temple?
With the words literally like the letters.
Yeah. Did you have a map that you would give people of? Let me explain how this joke works to you. Here's the periodic table of the elements. You see, because they're puns that are based around the scientific principles that there's things that make up.
What did that card say? It ended up saying like, "Thank you for using
AT&T." It was an AT&T plug.
Choose wisely.
But you could read it without using the translator because they were literally the American English alphabet, but just in their weird font.
Yeah.
So it was. Like,
I think it was quite that easy.
Once you get the hang of it, you can look at it and be like, oh, that's an A. That's
someone told me that the guy who did the voice of the guy who was in the well passed away like 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's been more than that, but he was...
Was that Zig Ziglar?
Yeah. The while back?
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who he was.
Yeah, just someone mentioned
it. I didn't know that was a famous thing.
Or the dad from Webster? Who are we talking about here? Trying to think of people who just
passed
away.
The guy down the well. I don't remember his name.
No, I know what you're talking about.
You wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know his name.
No, if I heard it, I wouldn't know.
I think he was, you know, just Disney around the resort kind of a guy. So.
I'm not a Disney-file person.
Yeah, you're more of a pedophile kind of...
I have some pets.
You can smack him as often and repeatedly as...
No, it's Rex. He and I, we're...
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
That's what it is. There's a chupacabra between
us. That's
Latin
for something.
I feel really cultured right now.
Well, that's it for the first half of the episode. Catch us back in the next week or two. We'll have the second half up, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys soon. Once again, everyone, Kungaloosh, and have a great 2013.